for the February 4th meeting of the Police Judicial and Legal Committee of Mount Pleasant Town Council. The first item on the agenda is approval of the minutes from the December 3rd, 2018 meeting. Do we have a motion?
So move.
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? The minutes are approved. Public comments, item number two. If anybody is here from the public that would like to address us, please go to the lectern, give us your name and address and your comments, please.
Good morning. My name is Donna Brown Newton. I live at 941 Long Point Road in Mount Pleasant. I am here today to discuss my concern about an event that occurred on December 16th in the Snowden community. My concern is the jeopardy that the residents were faced because of the excessive presence of police officers while searching for a suspected car thief with a weapon. I live in a predominantly black community, and most everybody there is African American, goes without saying. And they were looking, searching for a young black youth that was told had a weapon. But they had, out of my driveway on Long Point Road, there's a police officer standing there with a rifle in hand. And there were rifles in hands of police officers throughout the community searching for this individual that had a gun. But my concern is because it's a black community and you have a general description of a black male, anybody can be hurt or injured or accidentally killed by the police that were there. Dogs were there. Helicopters in the area. It was just for, I understand the seriousness of the matter. It was a serious matter because somebody stole a car and the person said, was mentioned that somebody had a weapon. But my concern is community, with, as a mother and a grandmother of young black youth, and the way in which they're being shot and killed for just being in a neighborhood and have the police officers in their area, but so many of them not knowing who they're looking for, everybody's a suspect, they're in the woods going through the area looking for somebody. It was a danger to the community. I felt more afraid of the officers than I did for the gentleman who the suspect was with the weapon. And to make things even worse, the next day I called to express my concern to the chief of police. And he in turn told me he can talk to me, a resident of the community, about an issue, but he only allowed to talk to certain individuals in the community. I feel disrespected because I live in that community. I should be able to talk to the chief of police to express my concern regarding his police officers in the area and excessive use of search in that particular incident. So that's my concern, is that it was just too many officers, and I was afraid that somebody would have gotten killed. The officer could have gotten killed, or even one of the residents there, because it's a black community. They were searching, had a general description of a young black male, and which are quite a few black males in that area, and my concern was the safety of the residents in the community because of the excessive police presence in the area.
Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am, I'd like to give you the flip side of that argument. My wife was with her 93-year-old mother at the town center, shopping center, when those two young men hit our car with them inside, and they were trying to get my wife's mother out. So, you know, a gun, and I appreciate your comments, but a gun doesn't do any good sitting in the car or sitting in the holster if you're about to address someone who may be armed. So I understand what you're saying, but you have to consider, you know, I have firsthand knowledge, as does my wife. So, you know, the police are there to make this a safer community. And it's not a safer community when young men, black or white, are stealing cars and running into other people in a shopping center.
I understand that. But I walk up my door not knowing what's going on.
I'm not going to debate with you.
Hang on. We're losing order here. You've had your time, and everyone's had their time to speak. Next, please.
Hello, I'm Plachette Grant, number 1684 LaTroy Avenue, Snowden Community. And I'm just here to follow up on, I know we had a discussion about possibly having a police officer during the school year for our kids being able, and any one of us being able to get out of our community. is I'm concerned about we can't safely get out of Snowden in the morning during school hours. And sir, you mentioned possibly looking into having a police officer there so we could safely get out. So again, we have more of our teenagers driving. My son, one of them, getting ready to get his license, and I'm terrified of the fact that I can barely get out of the neighborhood. So him being a young driver really, really concerns me. So I'm just following up on where are we, or can we be somewhere with that suggestion that you made when we had a discussion in June, I believe.
Was that at this meeting, at this committee?
Well, it was during the time that we discussed the Lone Point expansion.
Okay.
And you said even if possible.
That conversation, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Let me follow up with police and see what's been done. I don't know off the top of my head.
Okay, thank
All right,
you.
Thank you, ma'am. Mm-hmm. Appreciate it. Thanks for reminding us. Anyone else?
Kevin Kinane, 3032 River Vista Way. I'm here to talk about number 5, legal matters. Discussion regarding improvements to town council agenda. And I read that, any member of our community reads that, they have no idea what's going to be discussed. So it's not just the town council agendas, it's also the committee agendas that need addressing. Thank you.
Any other comments? All right, that brings us to item number 3, police matters. No agenda items. Item number 4, judicial matters. No agenda items. Item number 5, legal matters. Discussion regarding improvements to the town council agenda. One of the things that you have noticed is that our meetings have grown excessively long. And it's not a matter of convenience or preference, but I noticed the other night when some citizens came to address council on an issue regarding a public safety matter on their own road in Park West, that some of them had to leave before we got to discuss it or vote on it because our meeting went on for hours. And when you've got family and you live all the way across town and you want to address your council on an issue that's vital to your family and your property, when we have been there for hours on hours, partially violating Robert's Rules of Order, which is by law, by ordinance, how we operate, which I've been told by our lawyers means it has the force of law, then we need to take a look at what we're doing so that if you come to a council meeting expecting to see your issue addressed or expecting to address this council, you get the chance. And so we have taken a look at some things we can do that won't drastically affect council, but will make it more streamlined, more efficient, and when you show up for an issue, and especially when you want to talk, you know there's a much better chance of you being able to do that and not having to leave and go home. So I would like to refer to this this chart, if everybody has it, that was put together by our staff that shows back to 2011, 2014, and 2018, the meeting lengths and the pages of minutes. In 2011, the longest meeting was an hour and 51 minutes. In 2014, the longest meeting was 4 hours and 20 minutes. And in 2018, we've got a meeting that's five and a half hours, one that's 4 hours, 44 minutes, one that's 5 hours and 17 minutes, and another one that's 4 minutes, 4 hours and 27 minutes. So we asked staff to take a look at some of the things that we do, to take a look at what takes up the amount of time that we do in our minutes in our meetings and some ways that we can make it more efficient. So Eric, I'm not sure if you're ready to take it at this point or
yes, sir,
did I throw it too soon?
No, I'm happy to, okay. Sir. Perhaps I could just hit some of the highlights that are being discussed and worked on.
Sure.
And then it's up to you, sir, or council members to, I guess, respond and say what sounds good, doesn't sound too good. But there's quite a menu of things, and you may find more merit in some rather than others. But, for example, a summary of proposed changes would start with separating public hearings from the awards and presentations, basically creating two separate agenda items. You're making the public hearings a standalone item. And then we start to limit awards and presentations, which are wonderful at times, but as you know, they can go on for an hour plus. Limit those to truly outstanding achievements. And then any, say, employee recognitions that, again, isn't something truly extraordinary, perhaps is best to be recognized at a respective committee of town council rather than at the full council meeting. Changing correspondence and public statements, that's a line on our agenda to public comment. And so you could choose to have all public comment occur at that point and no public comment allowed under individual items on the agenda, which I think, at least I've noticed, tends to drag things down. And it's not it's not the public's meeting per se, it's a council meeting that the public can witness and follow. So you could choose to have it all up front. You could have a consent agenda. This would be a new section that is added. This would come following public comment period. And it would be restricted to and limited to final reading items on previously unanimous items at council, with the caveat that any council member could pull out one of those items if he or she felt that more discussion was warranted. Let's see, planning items would remain the same unless there were some final reading items that went to a consent agenda. Committee reports, you could remove them entirely from the agenda. You know, these meetings are public, they're recorded, they're taped, and have the committee minutes linked to the agenda for reference. Let's see, what else?
Unless a committee had a motion that needed council, right?
Exactly, thank you. And there are some other more verbiage type things that we're working on with legal. Many of the ordinance titles, it's important to have clarity in the ordinance title so that the public knows what's happening. But I think we all would agree, all of us, that sometimes the ordinance titles are so long, you know, there's some question whether we're adding more clarity or less clarity due to the length. So we're working on that. A couple other things is that it would require steps for you to modify the council agenda, because a lot of the way the council agenda is structured has been in our code of ordinances for a long time. And so you'd have to have an ordinance amendment and you'd essentially adopt a new order of business. And we would go through all of those to adopt any future amendments. You'd have to adopt a special rule allowing for a consent agenda. I believe it's allowed in Robert's Rules, but not necessarily specified in your ordinances. And let's see, what else did I not mention already? I would suggest, this is just me saying it, and again, you could deem whether it makes sense or not, perhaps limiting the ability for any council member to put an item on the agenda if a committee option is available first. But that's up to you. I think that tends to add considerable length of time, in my opinion, to the council agenda. Obviously, if there was no other forum for that council member's suggestion to be heard, then the council agenda may be appropriate. But that's up to you, just a suggestion. So, sir, that's what I have. I think I've caught pretty much perhaps most, if not all, of the recommendations.
Okay. Mr. Pagliarini, I have a couple of questions. Is there a history of, I know when I first got in this position, we met and we talked about meetings and Robert's Rules having the effect of law because we adopted it by ordinance. But there are probably some places where council has changed some things. Like Gary, I think you said that there was a vote, there was an ordinance that said the public can speak on each agenda item. I think that was done by ordinance. But what I'm getting at, rather than just go after one, I guess, are there some significant things that council in the past has done so we're not just dealing with Roberts, we're dealing with amendments to that so that we can kind of get an idea of what we're actually dealing with here?
All right. So to understand, our ordinances take precedence. If it's in our ordinance as a procedural matter, that's number one.
Right.
anything not covered then goes down to Robert's rules, and then, as you know, Mayor, there's a hierarchy way down the line. But yes, sir, I think a few things. One thing to know is that the order of our agendas, as Mr. DeMora referenced, is dictated by our ordinance. We have an ordinance, I think it's 20.29, that says this is how meetings shall run. So it is within council's discretion to change how meetings are run, about the order, about speakers, about the time, about how matters get on an agenda. What is actually on an agenda is, again, as our town administrator referenced, do you want to talk about committee reports? Is that something for a council agenda? So council has a significant amount of discretion as to how the agendas are laid out and what is on those agendas.
Okay. Because part of the reason maybe we go so long is that everybody wants a verbatim transcript of the minutes. And Robert's rule says right here that that is not the case. It even says that when you have a guest speaker, the name and subject of a guest speaker or other program may be given, but no summary of the talk. That's in Robert's rules. It also says the most frequent mistakes. This is in section E of whatever. I can give it to you later. The most frequent mistakes for trying to summarize reports offered and the arguments made in debate, and including all of the amendments and other secondary motions. In fact, in standard form, the minutes should generally include only what was done, not what was said. So maybe, and it also says in here that speakers are supposed to be recognized twice. You get to speak twice. So as the chair, you know, has that been amended so that if somebody wants to speak three times on an issue, am I violating Robert's rules or any of us when we're committee chair if they don't, if they speak the third time? Or am I violating, or are you violating when you chair Robert's rules if you do let that person speak? So
I think, again, our ordinances are the first level of law. And our ordinances essentially say that anyone can speak on any non-agenda item at the beginning of the meeting. And
during public comment.
Yes, sir. And if I'm understanding, there is nothing specific in our ordinances that says someone can't speak twice on there, but I think...
I'm not talking about the citizen. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm talking about the council members when we have a motion.
Ah, I see. Well, then it becomes directly a matter of chair order at that point. And, you know, anyone can make a motion to call the question. And it's not something our council has been, over the years, in my experience, deliberative and allowance of that. But that is, there are several mechanisms to where we could shorten that discussion if warranted.
Okay.
And any council member has that authority to make that motion.
Okay. Did you? Yes, sir.
Mr. Yeah, absolutely. You know, in 1998, when I wrote the ordinance about public speaking, it was for people to be able to come up at the beginning and speak. Not to be able allowed to speak, you know, during the council meeting, because it's a council meeting. When you speak at the beginning, it's more of a citizens meeting with council. But once that public speaking period is over, now it becomes our council meeting, and we're conducting business at that time. So I think that would significantly help us and committee reports as well. You notice I always pass my committee reports on to the clerk because it's long. Mm-hmm. I know we've got, you know, time is of the essence. So if we would just pass our reports in, like you said, they're already public knowledge because of our public meetings with them. I think those two things would help tremendously right off the bat.
So are you saying all public comment is in the public comment at the beginning of the meeting?
Yes. And then what you say is, listen, if you agree with the speaker, stand up or raise your hand, mm-hmm. so that people don't come up and say the same thing twice. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them will do that. They'll say, I agree with the speaker, and they'll sit back down. So there's ways of doing it such that it goes faster rather than, you know, we're in the middle of the meeting and all of a sudden somebody wants to get up and talk again and you got multiple people talking. I think that's what also pushes us back. So at the very beginning, they're welcome to come up and speak to us. If you're counsel, you make notes on what they're saying. So when the item comes up, you have the information in front of you. And then we make our decision and we move on.
The other thing we were talking about the other day, Gary, I think, is that if you're a citizen there to speak and you sign up for the public comments, you absolutely know you will get to address your issue. It won't get deferred. It won't be 11 o'clock at night. You will absolutely get to speak to your issue during that period. without anything getting in the way.
Exactly.
So maybe it might have to change some habits or whatever. But I think we can get there from here. Were you?
Yeah, I want to echo. I agree with Gary. I think that moving the public comments all to be at the front of the meeting would help streamline things. I think removing committee reports from the agenda, that also popped to me as something that would work. Awards and presentations, I think moving those towards the appropriate committee, unless it's like a major award, I think that's another way to save time. And then the item that I'm concerned about is this is changing how we allow council members to put things on the agenda, because I think of course the appropriate forum is a committee, but sometimes if a committee chair does not put something on the agenda or does not hold a meeting, then there's not an opportunity for that item to be on the agenda. And what I don't want to happen is, I think in the past it had to be second, like there had to be two council members or three council members to put something on the agenda. And if you have a situation where there's sort of a lone voice, where I think at one point Gary was sort of a lone voice and he was unable to get things onto the agenda because he was this lone voice. And I think that sometimes sometimes we don't want to hear the lone voice, but I think that person was elected and their voice should be heard on the council. And I think that if it becomes something that, I think that if we could have a step where it says it goes on a committee first, but if you can't get it on a committee, then it can go to the council if the committee won't put it on the agenda. But I mean, we're supposed to do the majority of our work in committees. And if something comes to the main agenda, then we just can defer it back to committee. But that's an unnecessary step. If we were able to change things to where you must go through a committee before it comes to full council.
Right. Okay. do we pretty much have agreement that a consent agenda would be a very good thing to do? And as our parliamentarian, is there any legal problem with that?
No, sir, no legal problem. And if, you know, in many of our meetings now, we'll say, well, we're going to take items 5, 6, 7, and 8 together.
Right.
So we're doing some form of it. But the good part about it is it does allow, if any one council member says, I don't want to take, just like now, I don't want to take this item together, even though it was unanimous at first reading, I'd like to talk about it, that flexibility is there.
So they can take that one item out?
Yes, sir. That's okay. How it would be designed.
So right. What's left on the consent agenda gets voted on all at once. Does that sound
right.
Reasonable?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What about the separating public hearings? Eric, you had mentioned that. I'm not sure I quite understand how that would, I mean, and if people notice when a public hearing ends, we are supposed to gavel it shut because it marks that public hearing is over. Would this be something that would happen, does it have to happen after council convenes, or can a public hearing happen before a meeting?
Well, we could set a special meeting for them. I mean, if that's what you're asking, Mayor, because we've done that before, for example, and many jurisdictions do this, they'll have executive sessions, say at 5 o'clock or special items, or as long as we properly advertise it and meet the requirements under state law, we could theoretically do it at any time.
I would love for us to move executive session to the beginning of the evening instead of the end. It's very, very late and we're making extremely crucial decisions. And if there is a way we could do that, even as a special called meeting before the monthly council meeting, and the only thing on the agenda is going into executive session, we do that before 6 o'clock. And then we also have a compelling reason to get out as well, right? Because we have our monthly council meeting. So what's the will of the committee so far as moving forward on any of these things? Yes.
I agree that the reports, oftentimes in the committee reports, we'll say, and we're going to take this up in new business, and then it just lengthens the report. And if we could just go to the new business, that'd be fine. So, you know, pass in a written report, that's fine with me. Yeah. As far as the agenda items go, I agree. We can be more efficient with that. I believe, as GM said, can you hear me? Okay. That if an individual council member wants to put it on a committee agenda and for whatever reason, the chairman says, you know, I don't think it's appropriate that council member has leave to go ahead and ask to be put on the council agenda. I think that covers it. It's fine. I suppose the next step is what to task or ask legal to go through that and consolidate some of these things and recommend changes for our ordinances. And I'd like to, if that's appropriate, I'd like to make a motion that we do that or that we recommend that.
Okay. What's the actual motion? Which items?
All that we've discussed.
Okay.
As I understand it, that would include the committee reports item, moving those to a non-discussion item.
Right.
Speakers all front-loaded, for lack of a better term, right at the beginning of the meeting. And consent agenda, those would be the three items. And then the placing a matter on the agenda after reasonable effort to put it on the appropriate committee. I think those are the big four items we discussed.
And moving the awards and presentations.
Awards and presentations. I think that's really just a
practice, not a
that's an administrative issue. And then if, since by ordinance our council meeting start at 6, it would seem to me, administrator, mayor, council discretion as to whether to have certain items special meeting at 5 o'clock, for example, if there's a heavy issue that everybody wants to deal with, we could do that on a case-by-case basis. We very well could move that executive session up. I think the problem is once you get a whole bunch of people in
the room,
a room, there's an issue, so it might be better served as a special meeting, as the case may be.
Right. So is that your motion? That's your motion. Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion?
Yeah, I got.
Yes.
I just have one kind of concern about coming to committee first. Past administrations, sometimes the committee was front-loaded with people who agreed with the mayor or whoever, and they wouldn't hear it they would not hear that, so it went to full council. Mm-hmm. So I guess my question would be, I think that we should always retain the right to be able to put something directly on the agenda, because like right now, I'm sure we wouldn't have any issue with it, but down the line or whenever, if it goes to a committee that's controlled by a person who doesn't like what you're saying, then it won't get out of committee, and then you can't put it on council, the idea dies or the problem dies. I think it's a good idea to start with committee. But if it doesn't, you know, get any traction, or if it's not held, or if you don't feel like it got the attention, you should always be able to put it on the council agenda. I think it'll work out through committee, but we're all elected officials, and we all have, you know, the right to be able to put something on that agenda for the public to be able to hear. And I think it would cut down a lot on it, because I think, like I said, the committees will listen to it, but there have been times when, you know, the committee won't listen to it, won't vote on it, and then you're stuck if you're not able to put it on the original council meeting. But I do think we ought to start with committee. I think that's a good idea.
I think that's what we're all saying. I hope.
I just want to make sure.
Okay. So we have a motion and we have a second. Any discussion? All in favor of the motion as stated, please signify by saying aye.
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 Any opposed? The ayes have it. So this will come as a recommendation from committee to council this month, or do we need to work on restating an ordinance for next month?
I'll leave that.
Perhaps, sir, if it's okay, if we could come back here next month, and then we could show you what the ordinance amendments look like, and perhaps also here's an example of what the new agenda might look like vis-a-vis
the
old
good.
Agenda. Is that okay?
Yeah,
okay.
That sounds good. All right. It concludes item number 5. Anything else for this committee? If not, item 6 is we stand adjourned.
Notice they didn't take comments on that.